Welcome to Ask the Educator, a podcast brought to you by Healthmark Industries. Are you a sterile processing technician or manager? Maybe you work in infection prevention or biomedical engineering. Whether you're a frontline tech, endoscopy tech, OR nurse, or surgical services administrator, you undoubtedly have influence in medical device processing at your facility. In each episode, we speak with experts from the Healthmark Clinical Affairs team, industry leaders, or special guests from the trenches to answer your questions and bring you relevant industry information, equipping you for excellence in medical device processing. My name is Kevin Anderson, and I will be your host. Now let's get started. Hey everyone, Kevin Anderson here, your host for Ask the Educator. For this episode, I have with me Stephen Kovac, and we are going to be discussing a topic that's very near and dear to Stephen's heart, and I can't wait to get into it with him. But we're going to be talking about tray audits. So, and anything quality control related, I'm in all in on it. So I'm excited to get in on this one.
Okay, well, Kevin, I don't know if this will make you laugh or bring back bad memories, but I still shudder to this day of the memories when I was a manager, in some places a director, super, doesn't matter, anybody who runs a department, even the afternoon or midnight shift coordinators, leaders, I shuddered every time I was called into the room that there was something wrong. It could have been a dirty instrument, could have been too many instruments, a missing instrument. You got a patient on the table. What can I do for you now to help you complete your surgery? You know, what is it? What can I do? Because every second, every minute counts. Even if it's, it doesn't matter what it is. They're all important. You don't want anybody under a spinal too long or anesthesia too long. And where I work, that was considered an incident. And incident reports had to be filed. You know, the term incident is pretty broad, but it's an event that is not consistent with routine operation of the department. And that meant I had to do a lot of extra work and figure things out. And I remember hearing, and it was reading an article by Joint Commission when they were, this is 20, 25 years ago, talking about quality improvement, how they're going to push it out and make people more accountable. And I have the quote. It says, "Performance measurement in healthcare represents what is done and how well it is done. The goal is to accurately understand the basis for current performance so that better results can be achieved through focused improvement action." What better way to help reduce surgical tray errors than getting an audit or establishing an audit of some sort? And we know it won't prevent everything. And I now want to tie in, I know I'm talking more here right now, but I want to tie in something you and our friend Tracy talked about. Zero deficits. So Steve, why do you want to have zero deficits and so on? I want to put it to you this way. Did you know that over 16,000 pieces of mail are lost every hour by the post office? 1 hour of unsafe drinking water every month, 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions each day, 15 newborn babies are dropped at birth by doctors every day, 22,000 checks deducted from the wrong bank account each hour, zero deficits. Suddenly the quest, I think, to get to the zero deficit of whatever it is you're doing is important. Can we get there? I don't know. And I think this part will be controversial as we'll start talking here in a minute about tray audits and their importance is, I believe no two departments are the same. Even when you try to set them up, you don't have the same staff competency or certified, non-certified years of training. Does everybody have the magnifying glass? Does everybody have the table set up right? There are so many variables that go into not only the person assembling the tray, but the tools they need to do it right. And did somebody get interrupted? Does everybody have a computer system that does this? And can you check all and they're all there because you got to turn so many trays around? But if you audit the trays post, pre and post, but I like doing them post, you can begin to get a feel of what's going on and begin to put processes together. So I think every department should have some type of policy where the purpose of it is a way to monitor the quality of the trays that are assembled and serve as a quality improvement tool and to let people know how their accuracy of and what they're doing to go from there. So I set it up usually with, we usually don't let me talk, go on for 4 to 5, 6 minutes, but I said a lot there, Kevin, but tray quality, I mean, that's it. That's our final product. And we should know.
You're right. Tray quality is something that we need to make better investments in. And one thing that I really love about tray quality is that there is no real monetary investment. There's time investment, but not really monetary here, which is interesting because so often we're using, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like we use the excuse of we don't have the things we need. And some of that stuff is true. And I don't want to diminish that. A lot of departments don't have what they need, but performing simple audits for quality initiatives is something that we do have the resource for. Yep. It's very simple, very easy to do, helps you collect data, helps you understand what really are the problems in your department and even who's having the problems. And why do we have to think of it as we need to go and punish this person that keeps making mistakes? That's not the environment we should be creating. Yep. We should be using that in order to help build them up and coach them and make them a better tech tomorrow than they are today. We have the ability to get feedback from the OR about our trays, and that's great. But one thing that I like about your tray audit idea where, and I'm sure many people out there are already doing some of this stuff, not enough. The nice thing about doing a tray audit is you go over there to the shelf, you get a ready for use tray and you audit it for all your quality components before it gets to the OR. Of course, you're going to have to redo it. You have the potential of catching problems before they reach the OR, before they reach the patient and all of that. So I think it's a real valuable tool that doesn't cost any money, just simply your time. Mm-hmm. And so It's something that we need to really, I think, embrace in our quality improvement methods.
And I think it also helps a department to be proactive. And I'm going to make up an example that, again, let's just say your cardiovascular is having some issues and you've not really audited those trays. Maybe 6-8 months ago, you had something wrong with your ENT or plastic service where you had some issues and you started to audit and you found issues, you corrected it, and that error rate was at a number, I'm making the number up, 10%, and you brought it down to less than 1% on whatever questions you were using. You at least can go to the head nurse or the core person or team leader, and even the physician, and say, look, I didn't know this was an issue with your trays. Here's what I've done with another service, and we've improved it, and here's what I want to do with yours, and let's see what's taking place in my department, because my finished product isn't up to everybody's expectations. Not saying theirs expectations, but everybody's, because your staff, we know there could be somebody who, I don't think people go in to make mistakes, and they don't. When you're saying your expectations, you want a complete product, one that's clean and functional and sterilized and everything's there. And maybe through the audit too, you might find 40 items and they're really only using 20. I don't know. You know, there's so many other things that can come out of this. And yeah, you can find out maybe it's Steve who's doing 70% of the errors, and Steve is the issue, and you know, you can begin to work with him or whatever. Being proactive, it sets a good tone for your staff and your customer. And that's what's important. And you can just change the audit to the trades you're doing. I know a lot of our educators, you do it, I do it. We've been helping people with tray audits, with insulation testing. And what we're finding is, some people are testing and their tester isn't right, or they didn't change the battery or using the wrong tools. And we're finding a lot of insulation failures. And this is being done after assembly, before it goes out. Then trying to help people understand how do they get the tray to be better and reduce those errors. You know, Kevin, it's just something everybody should be doing in some way, shape, or form. Kevin, how were you? What was your tray audit? Did you put something together, or what were you doing and your tray errors? How did you track it?
Yeah, I mean, it is something that we did. We focused the majority of our efforts in the beginning on reports coming from our customers. But then eventually, once we got that kind of handle, you know, under control, I guess you could say, where the numbers were getting better, we did do some proactive audits here and there. I'll just tell you, I think what's important about doing that is just for two reasons, I think, that you just brought up. And one is that it's proactive in a sense that you're collecting some data. It's going to tell you what's going on in the current state of your department, no matter what the service line is. And when you go to address issues with customers, now you have something to talk about, like, hey, I've been doing this. Apparently we missed your trays or whatever, but I believe we can fix your problem because we'll start auditing this. We're going to educate and train all of our staff, and then we'll continue auditing until this data point is acceptable, whether it's zero defects, which is, I believe, what our target should be, but at least we can show where we're at current state. We can show where we're at down the line, and we can come back to you and make sure that everything is going the way you want it to, and that you're getting what you expect every time you open our trays. And I think that this is an underutilized tool, unfortunately. I know there's people out there doing it, but I think that this is something that there's a lot of potential there for leaders to create a better relationship with their customers, from the SPD leaders and even the techs themselves, because they should be able to speak to their quality initiatives as well and generate that trust with their OR partners.
You just said something for your technicians and trust. Did you find with your staff a change as whatever you made improvements, whether it was training for them, that they felt better, they were putting a more acceptable, I don't know if those are the right words, but did your staff start to transform in any way, become more positive rather than another bad tray or whatever, that you were working on correcting it?
I understand where you're going with that. There is definitely a transformation, both on the part of our customer and the part of our techs. Our techs became more confident, and they were more proud of the work that they had been doing, because over the course of years, we were dropping our defect rates by just enormous percentages every year, whether it was 20, 25% every year, something like that. But the defect rates were just dropping consistently. And so they were feeling much, much better about the job that they were doing, and they had more confidence. And likewise, our customers in the OR, they felt more confident in what we were doing. In fact, they did a lot less griping about us because they knew how we were doing, and we were sharing our information and our data with them, and sharing concerns and being present when they still had concerns to be dealt with. I think the whole dynamic there just improved. And I do a presentation called Building a Strong OR and SPD Relationship. And in that presentation, we use a lot of these examples as ways to generate that strong relationship. It's very important, and it does change how the OR perceives SPD, because in the past at our facility and in many facilities across the world, I know how strenuous it can be. And I know also that SPD departments often don't have these proactive quality initiatives in place, and they need to. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when they don't often have a lot of answers, and they feel like they can't make anyone happy. And so part of that is equipping yourself with all of these data and proactive quality initiatives and things like that. And again, they don't cost a whole lot of money either. So I love these types of quality audits. I think they're so under talked about and undervalued, and they make such a world of difference.
Kevin, let me ask you this. Now I'm interviewing you. Did you find that because you started to solve concerns and your error rate or whatever you were tracking started to go down, that if there were other issues with the department that weren't around surgical tray quality, I don't know, you know, we've been doing different segments on other issues, that your customer felt that, you know what, they're willing to help figure it out, that, you know, they've done it in the past, it's going to take, there's no simple solution, but by having some of these proactive process, or I call them audits, did that help you when other issues came up with your customer, that they knew you were in it to win it, or, you know, whatever the slogans are?
Yeah, because like we mentioned in other interviews or other podcasts, you know, today's SPD, we have a lot of different customers, you know, whether it's, you know, beyond the OR, whether it's OB, the ER, the ICU, interventional cardiology, interventional radiology, all these different physician practices. So inevitably, even if you solve a lot of problems, or you know, you make your OR customers happy, which trust me, you want to do that, you're going to have a lot of opportunity for improvement with all these other customers as well. And if you're able to solve those issues with the OR, you're better able to focus on those other challenges with the other departments, because the OR being your number one customer in most scenarios, if your quality is bad there, like you're not going to be able to move on to the stuff that seems smaller in your eyes with the customers at the clinic down the street or whatever.
Sure.
But now all of you understand, like, hey, we got this OR, we got that taken care of. We can really focus on this issue with, you know, the sets that we're doing for this physician. They just keep saying that we're not prepping them the right way, we didn't put the towel in the right way. Now we can get to those little nitpicky things, and it's okay. We want to hear your nitpicky things. We want everything perfect the way you want every single time.
Yes.
Tell me what you want. We're going to do it. You know what I mean? But nobody can get to that point if they're putting out fires all day for the operating room. So
that's right. That's right. So, and I want people to know that, as we've said in other interviews and podcasts, we can help design questions for you. Work with us. We have some tools that other companies might not have, because real proud of what Marianne and Ralph and really the whole team and Healthmark's done. Our educators have worked in the field where we're talking about, you know, whether it's John Whalen and Endo or Seth or Sharon or you, or we just hired another new person and can't wait to work with her. Or Jahan, my mind's going blank here. Jahan with our biomed. We're here to help you, and just give us a call, ask us. We've got some really pretty cool tools that can help you in all these audits. But if you're not doing tray audits, I think you need to start looking at it, and it can help improve. I have one other quick question, Kevin. I remember going in your department, and you did win Department of the Year through Isham for midsize. You did have a quality board, right, where you posted some of the things, not everything, but a lot of what you were following or monitoring. And how was that received by your staff as we're getting to wind down here?
Oh, I think that they really enjoyed it. I think it was something for them to look for. A couple things that we did on that quality board. Of course, we had three or four goals every year that were you know, for the duration of the year, something that we were working on was missing instruments as an example. We also had quality metrics for each individual technician, and they would come out for their shift and they would look at that board and hope and pray that there was no new defects listed under their name, but they really embraced it. I mean, these techs, they want to hit a home run on every tray. They want everything to be perfect and they care about their quality. You got to set them up for success. And part of that is understanding how well they're doing, you know, and what are the problems that are coming up and communicating that. The quality board was a great tool for that. We would be able to communicate through that board, through emails, through discussion at huddles, all of those things. But quality was top of mind in our department. And, I think that needs to be unanimous across the entire industry. It should be the very first thing that we talk about at our huddles and and our quality boards. Like, I still go into departments today and I don't see anything on a quality board or you go to the quality board and the data on there is from 3 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever.
Yeah, or I see it in the manager's office, you know, and they got it there. And I know. It's I just want people to know we are here to help you, help your department through your audits, through Joint Commission, your incident reports. If you're like where we've worked, you know, they are filed and hopefully you can make them go down in certain categories, you know, missing instruments or dirty instruments or whatever. But it comes by, you know, collecting data and using it positively and going from there. And, SPD is just the smart people downstairs. We're here. We want to work with you. Or CPD is the creative people downstairs. We're creative. Give us a chance, you know. But I just hope people, if they're not doing tray audits, give us a call and let's try to help you figure out how you can do it and collect some good data. Kevin, I want to thank you for bringing this topic up, and hopefully we can help people improve their quality when it comes to the trays they're doing to make sure they're clean and functional and the way their customer wants it. So thanks, Kevin.
Oh, thank you. Always great talking about quality. Love it.
Yeah, I know. All right. We'll see you, Kevin. Take care.
That wraps up episode number 60. As a recap, Stephen Kovac and I talk specifically about doing tray audits. This is a simple quality check that you can perform on any ready-for-use set of instruments. It's as easy as taking a tray off the shelf, opening it up, and inspecting it. Is it labeled correctly? Does it have indicators? Are the locks and filters intact, or is the tape intact? Are the instruments clean and functional? This is how you can collect data proactively so you can identify potential process or training issues before they reach the OR, or worse, the patient. If you would like more information or help getting started with a tray quality audit, we'd be happy to help. Email us at asktheeducator@hmark.com. I really hope you enjoyed the podcast. Please remember to subscribe, and thank you for listening. All opinions expressed on this show are those of the presenters. Before using any medical device, it is important to review the device manufacturer's instructions for use.